This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Oh, hi there, and welcome to the Gilmore Guys Ad Corner, brothers and sisters. Probably mostly sisters, right? Listen, I know our audience. This is where we give big ups, big shouts out, and a big stars holla out to everybody who make the show free to the consumer. That's you, the listener. That's you to the target, the client. That's also you. That's also you. So we got three great sponsors. I'm going to tell you about them right now. For example, this episode of Gilmore Guys is brought to you by Lonely and Horny. You know Jake. You know Amir. You know Jake and Amir together from the College Humor days. Well, they're back in their first show since that College Humor show, and they're doing a show about dating in 2016 with the new Vimeo original Lonely and Horny. And I've seen this show, and it's super good. It's super funny, super high production value. It's terrific. It's available right now on Vimeo on demand. The season costs $15, but you can check out the first one for free on College Humor's YouTube page. And if you like what you see, buy the whole thing and use the coupon code HEADGUM for 15% off, which only works this week, so you gotta do it now. So check it out. Go to vimeo.com/lonelyandhorny. A-N-D horny. No ampersand. No ampersand. Elliot, I think I made that joke before. Okay, let me do it. No ampersand Seaborn. Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about. Rob Lowe, wanna ho-ho. All right. So that's vimeo.com/lonelyandhorny and use the coupon code HEADGUM, all one word, for 15% off. That's vimeo.com/lonelyandhorny. Coupon code HEADGUM. Oh, I talked about, I'm going to thread a narrative through these ads about me losing my mind. Well, I just came back from a weekend trip in Idaho that really kind of messed me up. I was traveling with people, but I went to a wedding and it really made me consider everything in my life and deeply saddened me. I had too many glasses of wine and I was just the sad funny boy dancing for everyone on the dance floor. I said, "Dance for me, funny boy," and I did because I know what my role is. This episode of Gilmore Guys is also brought to you by Tracker. Smart cars, smart phones, smart homes. Technology has made us smart, but when you lose those smart things, it feels really dumb and stupid. Well, Tracker makes losing those things a thing of the past. And I use this device. It's great. It's about the size of a coin, and you can use it to find misplaced keys, wallets, bags, computers, maybe even dogs you could put on a pet just in case. Just pair Tracker to your smartphone, attach it to anything, and find its precise location with a tippy-tippy-tap-tap of the button. It's that easy. With over 1.5 million devices, that's a lot of devices, Tracker has found the largest crowd GPS network in the world, so your lost item shows up on a map, even if it's miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away. So never lose anything again with Tracker. Listeners to this show get a special discount of 30% off your entire order. Go to thetracker.com, spelled thetracker.com. Enter promo code Gilmore Guys. That's us. That is the show you are listening to with your sweet little ears right now. And the hardest thing you'll ever have to find is their website. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Go to thetracker.com right now. Enter promo code Gilmore Guys for 30% off your entire order. I love this product and you should use it too. Again, that's thetracker.com, promo code Gilmore Guys. Guys, I'm not doing well. It's been a hard month. I don't know who my friends are anymore. But you know who is a friend to wine drinkers? Club W. This episode of Gilmore Guys is brought to you by Club W, the number one name in wine, in my opinion. That's just my own personal, non-endorsed opinion. So think about it. Think about all the nonsense and BS you have to put up with going to the grocery store, going out to get some wine, trying to figure out, do I like this? Do I like that? Do I like a Pinot? Do I like a red? Do I like a white? Well, Club W makes everything easy and simple. They've got convenience. Club W delivers straight to your door. They personalize it. So here's what you do. You go online, take a quiz, and then they personalize the wine to your taste buds and palette. And then the recommendations become even more personalized with every bottle you rate. So they get better and better, more smarter and more smarter. More smart is the right way to say it. It's kind of like Netflix or Amazon. They work with the top winemakers and growers from all around the world directly to make all of their own wine. It's high quality and a high value as well. So wine bottles that would usually retail for a lot more cost a lot less through Club W. And there's no risk. You choose the type and the quantity of bottles with no membership fee or cancellation fee, and you got a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So right now, Club W is offering our listeners $20 off their first order when you go to clubw.com/Gilmore Guys, all one word. And it gets even better because we all hate paying for shipping. I hate it so much. I just want to choke shipping in the mouth. So Club W will actually pay for your shipping on orders of 4 bottles or more. So take something off your to-do list. Skip the grocery store nonsense. Go to clubw.com/Gilmore Guys to get $20 off your first order now. That's clubw.com/Gilmore Guys. I think I need to call my mom. I'm really starting to lose touch with my identity. Okay, on with the show.
Limited edition.
Very special limited edition. I think that's a good way to start it. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin. Demi is reporting in the field tonight, out and about. Couldn't make it. But in his stead, he's on assignment. He's somewhere in Stars Hollow. We don't know. He could be at a town meeting for all we know. But in his stead, we have the great Scott Patterson.
Hello, people.
Hello. He's back.
Please sit down. Please, everybody, please just sit down. Thank you. Thank you.
So, Scott, we were talking before we turned on the mics. This is about a year to the day that we did our original podcast.
Was it really? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Almost June, and ATX was June what? What were the dates on ATX?
It was like June 6th or the 9th,
It was right after my son's birthday.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
So, and we did this the month before.
Wow. Happy anniversary, man.
Happy anniversary
to you. I'd get up and give you a big sloppy one, but
we can do it after the show.
There's all these microphones and wires in the way.
We can take care of that
Shouldn't get in our way, though.
Exactly. And I know you can't give away spoilers, you can't give away what's going on or what's happening, but let's talk a little bit about the experience of shooting the show.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, you know, tomorrow's last day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're done.
And we're putting this out. We're recording the night before this releases.
Isn't that amazing?
So today, the day that you're listening to this, is the last day of shooting.
Yes. It's
the
special,
revival.
Special inside info.
Yeah. That, Scoopy. Special exclusive.
Yeah, you know, tomorrow's last day, and I'm in the last scene and of the day, and then it's, last day. It's going to be an emotional day.
Is it nostalgic?
Melissa's shooting all day today.
Okay.
She's probably still there, so.
Oh, okay. All day being today.
Today. Today was Melissa's day, yeah.
Gotcha. So. Right on.
So she's over there, yeah.
She's over there doing her thing, all right.
She is, man.
Okay.
Lighten it up.
Yeah.
Lighten it up. Big time.
Was it good to see her again after so long?
I didn't. I was busy. I wanted to go over and say hello today, but I was busy all day. I had meetings all day.
Okay.
I was trying to, one ran late and it kind of messed up the whole window. So. Yeah.
Well, maybe at the premiere.
I might after this head over there and if they're still shooting. Though they might be.
They probably are.
Odds
are good.
I don't know.
I mean, have the days been as long on the show?
Some.
This time around?
You know, look, it's been involved. There's been a lot of, yes, because, sometimes we're shooting all 4 seasons in one day.
Mm-hmm.
So, equipment has to be moved to different stages. It has to be moved to the back lot, that kind of thing. That takes time.
Is that, every production, almost literally every production shoots stuff out of order, scenes out of order, but shooting whole episodes in chunks of different seasons out of the order, is that hard to have the emotional continuity with all that stuff?
Yeah, but that's why that's the ultimate purpose of a good director is to let you know where you are in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And because you forget, you forget if you're just even shooting one movie or TV show and it's out of order. It's always out of order. It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
But shooting 4 simultaneously, it can get a little confusing. I think I showed up for a summer scene in winter garb, and as soon as I walked onto the set, I knew, that's not the right wardrobe
easy
choice.
To get mixed up.
I need to go back into my trailer.
Valerie and Brenda swoop in, save the day.
Right, and they're amazing. It wasn't their fault, because I had wasn't their fault. So.
Was there ever a time where you had to pretend it's super cold and it was extremely hot outside?
That's
we're most
Southern,
of it.
We're
yeah.
in Southern California.
Yeah.
It's always that way. Yeah.
I was hoping you guys would avoid it a little bit, given that you started in February and then got a little bit
You know what you do? You sit on a block of ice if you can find one. And you actually get cold.
Did you do that?
No.
You didn't bring your own block of ice?
Well, I sat on an ice cube, but it didn't have the same effect.
You probably crushed it.
I tried. No, it melted. It was like nothing.
Oh, bummer.
It's like, you know, give me your best shot there, pal. So yeah. It's like, come on.
But it's been a blast. You've had a lot of fun.
My God. I mean, you know, this is the way to do it, by the way. You know, once a year for 3 months, shoot four movies in a row, all at the same time. And it's just a lot of fun. Everybody's having a lot of fun.
Instead of the kind of constant cycle of like...
Well, it's a 9-month thing. So you sort of get back into that like high school kind of routine where it's 9 months, you get the summer off,
between
you come
two
back.
Episode seasons, like a 9-month thing.
But it's like, you know, with Gilmore, it's like you didn't graduate high school. You know, you were still in high school after 7 years. You were still
I do find it funny that the show...
Actually a good high school to be involved with.
Oh, sure. Stars Hollow High. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Big Stars Hollow out to them.
AP classes are tough.
Yes, exactly. The AP classes being dialogue.
Unbelievable.
Miss Amy Sherman and Daniel Palladino.
Good Lord. I mean, we get into any university at this point.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We'll see. It's like Netflix is your...
We took a 9-year gap year, by the way.
Pretty much. I mean,
now we're back.
It was interesting to think of the show existed in its original form on network TV 2000 to 2007.
Yeah.
And now the show's going to pick up, you know, 2016 or maybe 2017. It's going to be pretty much the first run of the show was all during the Bush era. And then that gap totally skipped the Obama era.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean?
Uh-oh.
Like from 2008 to 2016, not on the air.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it is. We're not a political show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Nope. I mean, we had Madeleine Albright once.
Yeah, that was rad.
But we had Norman Mailer, but, you know, I it's not a political show.
Oh, man. Well, it sounds like a blast. We can't wait to see those episodes when they come out.
Yeah, they're going to be movie quality.
Yeah.
You know, the technology's changed, and... the way they shoot has changed, and the level of equipment and
really
oh my god
was it pretty?
I feel like I was walking on a Michael Bay set.
You know, yeah,
because I did a commercial with Michael Bay.
Yeah,
I, you know, back in the day before he became Michael Bay.
Mm-hmm.
He was always Michael Bay. He introduced himself as Michael Bay, but yeah. I did a Miller Lite commercial with him. Mm-hmm. I think it was like the Lawyer Rodeo, Lawyer Roundup. It was like lawyers and. Instead of the bulls coming out of the chute, it was lawyers.
Okay.
So it was a lawyer roundup thing. Ha ha, very funny. So I worked with Michael Bay, and it was all these, you know, all these cameras on wires above you and zipping by and all this energy on set. And it kind of feels like I'm walking onto a Michael Bay set.
Wow.
Yeah.
And in fact,
I think Transformers 7 is coming in to take the equipment to shoot the rest from the Gilmore.
That sounds about right, doesn't it?
There you go.
Now, given that the technology was so much easier this time around, you guys are shooting digital instead of actual film. Did that mean setups were shorter?
God, we were shooting film.
Yeah, think about that.
Oh, my God.
Way back in the day.
We were shooting film.
On film.
That's right. They would run out of film.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Not so much with digital.
Dude, you just made me feel like I'm 100 years old. It's like back in the old days when they'd have...
When it made more sense to shoot.
They'd need another cartridge of film.
Yeah.
Oh.
Every 11 minutes.
Unbelievable. Oh, and it's like checking the gate. There's no more checking the gate.
Yeah.
Now.
It's just, let's go.
Checking the gate. Remember checking the gate? Yeah. Remember that?
Check the gate, lock
Gate's
the
good.
Gate.
And then you sit there, you know, with your heart in your throat, hoping that the gate is good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, let's explain to the viewers what that means, right?
Yeah.
That means like if there's a snag in the film or a tear in the film at the very end, if the gate's not good, if the film's corrupted somehow, you've got to shoot that take again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the entire scene. Maybe the entire reel of film.
Oh, dang.
It gets nerve-wracking. When you're sitting there waiting, checking the gate, gate's good. So.
Yeah.
We don't hear that anymore.
There was none, that suspense did not exist this time around.
No.
It was just
It's
good
like
to go.
You don't even notice the cameras anymore.
Does that mean you could do more takes of the same scene over and over again?
Oh, sure. It's endless. Yeah. Oh, Stanley Kubrick would love digital.
Stanley Kubrick would be jealous.
Actually, he wouldn't.
Of the
no, he
Rose.
Would not. He would stick to film, just like, you know, a lot of them are. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's I don't know. It just everything seems bigger, better. It feels like a feature film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels. You know, we're just
explosions in Luke's diners, gunfire from Kirk.
There's interrogations. There's all kinds of things.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah, there's evacuations.
Yes,
there's helicopters.
Exactly.
It's
Rory comes parasailing down from helicopter.
High-powered rifles.
Oh,
there's Humvees everywhere.
Yeah.
Muscular people.
Sounds right for Stars Hollow.
You know, it's like people are getting up at 3:30 and lifting weights. It's crazy. It's craziness on that.
Training montages. That'd be Ren. Jess and Luke have a training montage. You got to fight for the right, man.
Yeah, right. You seen that guy? Milo, you seen
pretty
that
jacked.
Guy?
Oh, we had him here a couple of weeks ago.
What's up?
He's big. He's Jesus. A big boy.
I tried doing a scene with him, right? You just yeah. look at him like, Jesus, this dude's good looking. What yeah. the hell's going on? You forget your lines.
Yeah, staring into his yeah. eyes too long.
You know, I had dinner with him once, and the waitress just couldn't take her eyes off him. Swear to God.
Yeah.
Forgot to take my drink order. I just wanted water. That's it. Tap water. I would have taken tap water. Okay? She yeah. walks away. I go, yo, over here. You know, what am I, chopped liver? She comes over. She goes, yes. I said, you didn't take my order. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry.
She brings Milo two waters
she
instead.
She said that while she was still staring at Milo. Mm-hmm. Okay? So oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Oh, boy.
Gosh.
Well, I think there's some people that would still rank you neck and neck.
Oh, no. That's,
find them on the internet.
That's not even a...
Oh, Google.
That's not even a fair fight anymore.
Oh,
sorry.
Have you ever heard of Tumblr? Check it out
great
sometime.
Guy. Great guy, man.
Good man, good man.
Yeah.
It's strange. He's about... He might be around the same age that you were when the show started. Kind of like the way Alexis was the same age now
wow.
that Lauren was
wow.
when the show started.
Dude, you are blowing my mind.
Isn't that wild?
You're blowing my mind right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty
you're
crazy.
Good at this.
15
just,
years.
My mind is just
going
give me a chance
in all
to recover.
Different directions. Okay. We'll give you a minute.
Okay. I'm fine. I'm okay. No, true. So true.
Yeah.
Right? So, my God, he's Luke now.
He's Luke. He's the new Luke.
He's 2.0.
yeah.
And Rory is Lauren.
Yeah.
As Lorelai.
Isn't that wild?
Wow.
A lot of times.
Then who
passed.
Are we?
I mean, I don't
gone,
know.
Gone, baby.
Am.
See ya.
Bye bye. Adios. Maybe you're Richard.
you got replaced.
Yeah. Oh
boy.
All right. Well, we don't want to leak any spoilers. We don't want to say anything about
no.
the plot. We don't want to put anything out there.
No.
That the clickbait vultures might get a hold of.
That's right.
So we'll veer far from that.
Let's avoid controversy.
But what are the final four words? I'm just kidding.
Not in this house.
Not in this house.
No, I don't know. I don't know what they.
All right. We'll keep guessing.
On your knees, Birdman. I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, we'll see. Oh, boy. Well, that'll be exciting.
Nick Cage is here.
Nicholas Cage
no,
is here.
Those are four words, right?
Those are the cameos.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, everybody.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know what it is.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, well, the reason we wanted to talk to you today, or I wanted to talk to you today.
Yes.
I guess Demi didn't want to talk to you.
He didn't want to talk. He's out on the field. He's talking to bigger and better
he's
people.
On a mission, man. He's on a mission.
Probably with Milo. Yeah. He's at the gym with Milo.
probably
right?
pumping iron. Jeez. I bet Milo's bench pressing Demi right now.
I'm so jealous. These guys...
Yeah.
They get together, they their eyes lock, and you never see them again.
And then it's just a match made in heaven or in Hollow. But we wanted to talk to you because you have some exciting news about some things that are coming up for you. I think you do, unless you haven't misled us.
Okay, so look, there are a couple of, I don't know if you'd call them headlines,
mm-hmm.
but, okay, so these are developments.
Okay.
There's a couple developments, there's a couple headlines, there's a couple... blurbs, okay,
mm-hmm.
Whatever mm-hmm. you want to call them. So I'm probably going to be doing a film with Josh Hutcherson.
Oh, fun!
Coming up
yeah.
in maybe end of May.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So details will be forthcoming, but we're
TBA.
You know, we're getting through the whole process of negotiation, which you know can be tedious. But this kind of just happened. So I just want to tell people that. That's exciting. Big fan of that kid's work. You know, the kid's really, really gifted.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be exciting. You know, and there's some other things happening as well. Actually, Thursday, I'm voicing over a Warner Brothers animated film in the DC Comics series. So I'll do that Thursday. And so that's exciting. That's,
what's the role? Can you say?
I can't really say too much.
Okay.
It's the lead of it, but I can't really say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. There's some partial information for people to get pissed off about because they don't really know much about
right.
it because I can't tell them.
Oh,
much
people
about
love
it.
Teases, man. People love almost, but not
yeah,
quite.
Yeah.
That's what gets people going.
And also on the, there's a couple things brewing. I just want to say this sentence. I want to see if I can say this sentence.
Okay.
This summer in Los Angeles, there may be the, ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hang on. I'm getting ready.
Oh,
I need some water.
Okay.
I need to focus here because it's
a lot of pressure.
It's all just forming. Okay.
Oh, sure.
It's all formulating.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? It's the first annual Scotty P. Rimbaud clockwork, guitar, battle, poetry jam.
Whoa.
Could be happening this summer.
Okay. Talk about this event.
In Los Angeles. Can't really talk about it.
Okay.
But I'm just teasing it. So look out for it, folks. Teasers, I don't even know if it's going to be called that, but yeah, I'm putting together an event in LA, which is going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. So producing it, and it's, you know, it's going to be.
You play guitar yourself?
I do.
Yeah.
I do play guitar.
All right.
I used to play a lot more guitar when I had free time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, what I just like every other kid who had some family issues or whatever, you know, I picked up a guitar when I was a kid and just sort of poured a lot of angst into that guitar,
mm-hmm.
and you know, became quite enamored with playing. And you know, I was in some bands in high school, and I was in bands from the time I was in third grade. I was in a band with my best friend, and those of these listeners, and I want to give my buddy a plug.
Okay,
if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
I got a buddy that I grew up with who's like one of the greatest guys, heart of gold.
Neil Young.
His
it's not Neil Young. Okay, my apologies.
Even bigger than that.
Woo.
His name is Tommy Poitras, and you know, he lives in South Jersey, and he's a drum teacher. And he's like the best drum teacher, like the best drummer you ever heard. He can, you know, he can imitate Buddy Rich, he can Steve Gadd, you name it. He can do any style of drumming. The guy is fantastic. He was fantastic, you know, in sixth grade. In fifth grade, he was a fantastic drummer. So he teaches drumming. And I'm just saying, anybody in South Jersey or the Philadelphia area who wants to get a real good drum lesson, go to Tommy Poitras. This kid, I mean, he's got chops you wouldn't even believe.
How do you spell the last name?
Poitras.
Okay, good to know.
Tommy Poitras. So he's just a great drum teacher, great friend. You know, we were in bands together from the time we were in third grade on. I mean, the only two songs we could play, and we had a guitar player and a bass player. The guitar player went on and he soundproofs, or he does sound editing for Broadway shows now.
Mm.
And the bass player and keyboard player, he is a doctor somewhere. He's an anesthesiologist off somewhere. And we called ourselves, ready? Wait for it.
Here we go.
The Unknowns.
Hard to Google.
We remain such.
Yes.
We remained unknown. But, you know, we were like the band in grade school and junior high. And then they kind of threw me out of the band. Mm. There was some controversy in the band. Yeah, I was a singer.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't play guitar yet when I was in third grade. Mm-hmm. And I started picking it up a little bit after that. We played two songs. In grade school, we played Back in the USSR and I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. That's it. That's all
two
we
classics.
Did. That's all you needed.
That's all
then.
You did.
That's all you
that
needed.
Was the whole
I realized the power of being a lead singer in a band when I was in fifth grade. And, you know, I was this little skinny kid with a fringe jacket, you know, and an Oxford shirt. And the sixth grade girls who were twice my size actually were starting to pay attention.
Oh, boy.
And it was like, you've got to be kidding me. Not that I had any clue what to do with any of them.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
At third grade, it's tough.
Right. So it was, you know, we had our fun. But there was some controversy in the band. There was like a Yoko-type person. There was a girlfriend of the guitar player who, you know, there was a little competition.
Kind of made things there. A little hairy.
Things got a little dicey in there, in the studio. I'm telling you, man. And, you know, I got tossed.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't any fault of my own.
You didn't make a move. You
the
didn't
unknowns,
step out line.
They issued a press release, and they're like, this guy's out. He's out. You know, because he went after Colette. Right. I didn't go after Colette. Colette went after me.
Oh, no. You're
yes.
the victim here.
Yes. I think because he was so busy, you know, with his licks and his, you know.
Yeah.
Look, a Led Zeppelin album would come out, right? Everybody'd line up around the block, Sam Goody's or whatever, back in the day when you bought. You paid for music.
Tower Records, Sam Goody.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So he'd get the album. He'd know every song in 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Note for note.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty good guitar player.
That's a gift.
Yeah. So anyway, he had this girlfriend who we all liked. She was very pretty. And she was very cool and earthy. And she meditated and she was very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just a really groovy, groovy chick. Very soulful. And... you know, what the hell are you going to do, man? She's there in rehearsal. You know, she was great.
Mm-hmm.
And we had nice talks. But I got tossed. Can you believe that?
You got tossed.
I got tossed.
You're here to right the wrong of that tossing.
No, I'm not. I'm here to say, I'm here to say Colette and I are still good friends.
Okay.
And she's Colette Oswald Photography in Haddonfield, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. She's a really terrific photographer. Great girl, you know.
A lot of New Jersey plugs this episode.
Hey, man, you know what? These are my peeps. These yeah. are these are my solid
Your
peeps.
Your hometown boys, yeah.
And girls.
And girls. Pardon me.
You know, so there you go.
All right, so the guitar event may be happening this summer.
Well, it's a poetry jam guitar battle. It's not just it's a battle.
It's a battle. Okay,
it might
so
be
bring your accents.
It's kind of a competition, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
okay.
It's like that's serious business.
Yeah, good to know.
And it could be a battle between who's the best and also who's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a lot of fun.
Okay.
You know, and there's also we think we're doing, and I, you know. And I know I said there's a big announcement coming, and there's, you know, I've made some this mm-hmm. evening on mm-hmm. your podcast, mm-hmm. and you've been so kind to have me and let me do this.
There's always a spot for Scott Patterson.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you very much. Boy, is that, and it cost a pretty penny, let me tell you.
Oh, folks, it is not free to be on this podcast.
This is not cheap. I'm telling you, my God. So there might be an event coming up, a personal appearance in Philadelphia, my hometown. Well, actually where I was born, Haddonfield's my hometown, but Philadelphia's where I was born, and I spent a year there. So, you know, it's kind of my hometown. Mm-hmm. Maybe a personal appearance there, and I'm, you know, making an appearance. We're talking to a couple of different theaters now to see where we want to go. We're discussing options. So I'll come back and make an announcement once we have something solid. I apologize.
Something concrete.
I apologize because I thought I had something concrete.
Gotcha.
Dates, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll let you know when tickets go on sale and all that kind of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, the best way, in addition to listening to this podcast, is check out at Scott G. Patterson on Twitter to follow the latest updates.
Right.
You tweet a lot.
Right.
You've been getting pretty good at it since we last talked to you.
I'm trying, man.
Yeah, you rebranded.
You,
know,
you youngins, you're real special.
Posting selfies with you and Amy in her coonskin cap, among other things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah
you're getting there.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying.
Yeah, okay, so the event is in the works for Philadelphia sometime this summer.
Yep, and one in LA as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Separate from the battle.
No, that's the battle.
Oh, that is
that's
the battle.
That's the LA
okay,
event.
Okay,
yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, that's a little different experience. That's a different kind of a show.
Okay.
That I'm producing.
Right
so
on.
It's a different deal.
Whole different thing.
Yeah, whole different kettle of fish, yeah.
Oh man, yeah. Lot to look forward to
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
When the new episodes are released on Netflix, how do you plan on watching them? You going to watch them with friends, with family?
I think that I would imagine there would be a premiere party.
Big old premiere party?
Yeah, it'll be 6 hours long. Watch.
Yeah. They're going to lock the doors.
Yeah.
They will not give you food or drink.
6 hours, buddy.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they'll give us something on DVD and we can watch it.
I don't know. It's hard because some of those new Netflix shows, some of them are released on DVD.
Right.
Some of them are not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it just depends, I guess, on their whims.
Oh, that's good cold water. Thank you, man.
Good cold water.
Wow.
Nothing nice. But the best here at Gilmore Guys.
That's good stuff. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess I assume there'll be a premiere party and premiere and the whole deal. You know, Netflix does it right, man.
Mm-hmm.
They do it right.
Was there anything in these new episodes that any like things that you got to do without getting into specifics, of course? Here, I'll just ask you this question: were you satisfied with where Luke Dane's story went?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's still room to go. There's still room to grow. There's still. I mean, it's not necessarily a cliffhanger, but it kind of is. You know, there's.
Oh, you're saying that there's the possibility.
Oh, there's room for more.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sure, it didn't end.
Yeah.
And but maybe it did.
But maybe it did. We'll never know until we see it.
You will know until you won't know until you see it. But yeah, there's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have said, oh, this is probably the end. These are the last episodes we'll ever get. But you're saying maybe there's a possibility.
That's
somewhere,
you know, look,
down the line.
I'm thinking it's like 50-50
yeah.
on that. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. You know, people have been intimating that, you know, they would like it to continue and that there's room for it to continue. And, you know, we'll see how this goes and how successful this is. I mean, you got to imagine this is going to be pretty successful. So, I mean, I don't know. I would hope that there would be more. I mean, it was just a blast doing this. Mm-hmm. The best. You know, look, I thought the best job I ever had was 2000, 2007 on the show. This is better.
Wow.
This is more fun. We're having a blast.
Yeah, it seems like spirits are a little higher this time
around.
Well,
we're, yeah, because it's
more celebratory.
Right, because it's, you know, I think that we have all, you know, enough time has gone by that we have all realized how special this is. You know, and time has fermented this wine. And it tastes so much better.
Mm.
And, you know, while you're doing it and you're in the thick of it and it's, you know, 14-hour days, 16-hour days, whatever it is, you know, you sort of wish for it to end. And you knowing full well it's the best job you're ever going to have. I mean, I was old enough and long enough in the tooth in the business to know that another show, another opportunity like this was not coming along. You know, maybe there's some people in the cast that didn't realize that and had better opportunities than I did at that time to enhance their career in other directions. That's fine. You can't blame people for doing that. I would have done the same thing had I been younger and, you know, I hadn't really, you know, experienced everything I was hoping to experience in the business and what I thought was coming to me or what I'd earned or whatever. You know, I knew that Gilmore Girls, when I got it, was the penultimate job that I was ever going to have, you know, because, you know, you get a 7-year run, you do 154 episodes with that level of writing and, you know, the actors that are involved in that. Oh, it's, you know, unless you're working with a, you know, a Julie Taymor on stage or something, or, you know, some directors of that quality in film, you know, it's not going to happen for you again. So for me, it was always very special.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, there you go. That's what makes it even more gratifying now, because everybody came back together after 9 years.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that. So,
it's a hard thing to pull off.
Yeah. Couldn't have happened without Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have happened without Netflix.
God love them.
Yeah.
They heard you on this podcast a year ago and they said, we should do something.
Yeah. Ted, you know, go Ted.
Ted Sardanis.
Yeah. Keep going, buddy. I mean, that was a great move. Great move.
Yeah.
You know, and we were at his house and sort of celebrating. There was some Oscar events, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And just a really gracious guy. And, throws a hell of a party, I'll tell you that much.
That sounds fun.
It was.
What do you think is the biggest difference?
I don't remember half of it.
Oh, dude. That's the mark of a good party then. What do you think was the biggest difference this time around shooting the episodes as opposed to the first 7 years?
I just think everybody's more grateful. I think we're all just we're happy to see each other. We're more grateful to have the opportunity to reprise the roles. You know, it reminds us of what we had. And, you know, we were younger then and we were, you know, maybe a little bit naive about the business. Some of us, I don't know. But now we're, you know, more experienced and, you know, it's just very satisfying to come back. And it's a good group of people to come back to anyway. I mean,
Sean, Glenn,
yeah, man.
Keiko,
I mean, yes, people are closer now. The friendships are deeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really the joy of theater. That's, you know, people come together and they form these sort of temporary families, but they really do last forever. Right. And, you know, I guess in certain respects, maybe some parties thought that once the experience was over in 2007, that was it. The friendships were over, but it didn't happen that way. You know, I mean, everybody kept in touch and it was like, you know, it's just very satisfying to come back to this and have a chance to deepen these relationships. And mm-hmm. we're just having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, cause it's like, you know, we know the rhythm. We get the rhythm of the writing and, you know,
it was very easy to fall back into.
Yeah, man. And it's like, you know, and Amy's just a rock star, and Dan's a rock star, and we're just having a blast on set, you know, because they're directing the episodes.
All of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very tight-knit family feeling, so it's very nice.
That's cool, too, because in the original run, they couldn't be on set all the time.
Right. So yeah, and when they would come on set, it would be very special,
mm-hmm.
and it would energize the entire place.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, it's every day.
Now every day is special. Yeah.
Not that it wasn't with other directors,
of course.
It was like, you know, there was that special magic,
yeah,
with
special
Amy
sauce
and Dan.
With the Paladinos.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you gotta have the Paladino.
I'll ask you this: will the fans be happy with these new episodes?
Yeah, they're going to be ecstatic. They're mm-hmm. going to be, look, it's tonally, it's deeper, it's more filmic. It's but it still has that light comedic tone, and you know, the scenes are longer, the emotions run deeper, you know, there's more to deal with. And, you know, it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It really is. I mean, that's the best way to describe it. It's just, it hasn't lost any of its original charm mm-hmm. at all. The only thing I would say that's a little bit different is that it's, you know, we're going to places that these characters haven't gone before.
That's very
emotionally
exciting.
Speaking. And yeah. it's a wonderful ride. Yeah. It was a wonderful ride. It's not over yet. Tomorrow's the last day. I have a little thing to do tomorrow with Lauren. And it's one of the more beautiful shots
Ooh.
Of the entire four episodes. Ooh. I mean, neither the Amy and Dan have come up with some absolutely gorgeous shots, gorgeous scenarios. I mean, just beautiful stuff. So tomorrow we're sort of, I don't know if we're reshooting something we've already done or we're just adding to something we already shot, but it's gorgeous shot. Really, really fantastic shot. I mean, their imaginations are just second to none. Just fantastic.
Well, and speaking of the weather, were you wearing, in these new episodes, the same baseball cap as the original?
No, because I stole that.
and lost that. It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't find it again.
No, I got it, man.
Oh, so you are wearing it?
No.
Oh, you didn't bring it to the set?
Hell no, man. That's mine.
Okay.
So let the bidding war begin. Let the Smithsonian call. I'll call them back.
Yeah, exactly.
Forget it.
The hat and flannels got to get
Keep the baby
up there.
Frogs. I don't care. It's like, you know, that hat stays with me, buddy.
Oh, the baby frogs. That's That's a fun fact about you. You used
to
collect.
Yeah, we can't talk about
that. Oh, we can't talk about that?
Yeah, we can't.
Oh, okay.
That's very, yeah.
It might be on the internet.
It's like lawyer letters and
okay.
things like that.
My yeah. apologies. Oh, boy. Have you ever thought putting out an album of music, by the way, if you play guitar?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Sing and Get the Unknowns Back Together?
Get the Unknowns Back Together?
Why not?
Jeez, that would be a
reunion tour.
I mean, if Gilmore Girls can
if
do
Gilmore
it.
Can do it on Netflix.
Why can't the Unknowns announce a world tour?
That's the big announcement.
the reunion tour of right. the Unknowns.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that I could be the lead singer.
When's the last time you sang publicly?
I think I was arrested and ran out of town.
Oh, well.
Oh, you know, look, no. I'll tell you this. When I was shooting Saw, the mm-hmm. first Saw film, and Darren Lynn Bousman was directing Saw, he came to me and he said, listen, I've got this thing called Repo, the genetic opera, okay? And Evolution is giving me money to make the film. I'm going to put some money into the film. Can you sing? And look, when I was in school, I was in choir or whatever, you know, and I was in the Unknown.
Could carry a tune.
I can carry a little bit of a tune, mm-hmm. okay? I'm not saying the sound of my singing is so mellifluous or pleasant on the mm-hmm. on the human ear. Dogs definitely run away.
It's like a kind of, oh boy.
but I will tell you this.
Okay.
I rehearsed that part and you know, and Darren handed me the deck of songs that the guy wrote, this Terrence guy who mm-hmm. wrote all these songs. So I didn't go out for dinner or on my days off in Toronto on the first Saw movie. I was in my hotel room practicing these songs. All day, all night. And I had to choreograph them too. Because you know what the character did? The character, it was set in the future, and people would lease human organs from the government. And if your lease was up and you couldn't make the payment, they sent me around to cut the organs out. Now, I think Jude Law made a movie, Universal or somebody made a better version of the film. Of the same kind of idea, but Darren's came out first, and I didn't get the part. I auditioned
all
three
that time
times,
rehearsing, yeah,
three times,
oh, man.
And I thought I had done a really good job,
yeah,
and I didn't get the part because I got that another series because Gilmore ended.
Oh, right,
and then that summer I was in Toronto doing yes,
Aliens
and I was doing Saw, and then I got. You know, I had a holding deal at Warner Brothers, and they asked me if I wanted to do Aliens, and I said, sure. You know, great script, great comedy writers, terrific team of writers. So I was in Vancouver shooting, and we couldn't work out the schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And the world is a sadder place.
And no one ever heard you sing. Until right now. No? Okay.
No. Look, you know, I got to get, I don't drink anymore. I quit drinking.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. while ago. Okay. I mean, it's been a long time. But when I get liquored up, I could do some pretty good fake opera. I'm telling
that
you, man.
Sort of thing?
I'm telling you, it's shockingly good. Shockingly good. Would bring a tear to your eye.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you. Shocks the hell out of people.
I wish Luke Danes sang opera in the
right, right up into the point where I sort of run out of breath and I choke.
Right.
But it sounds good up until that.
What are you listening to nowadays, music-wise?
Gosh, you know what? I got to tell you something. You know what I'm listening to? I'm listening to James Gang.
Okay.
I'm listening to Joe Walsh.
Okay.
When he was at James Gang. And the way that guy could play lead guitar. And, you know, I'm listening to a little bit of Iggy Pop.
You just put on a new record a little bit ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like the coolest man in the business. Yeah. And I'm listening to old Bowie stuff. I'm listening to old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really miss the old stuff. So, because I'm listening for, you know, I'm trying to get guitar licks off these guys. I try to steal the.
Oh, you listen along and then play along.
Yeah, well, I try.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Yeah.
But these guys are really good, you know. And they're on, so I think back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was something with youth and mind-altering substances. I've been
something like
I,
that.
Yeah,
I wasn't around. I'm not sure. I've heard about this.
So they were, you know, not only really gifted musicians and, you know, great ideas musically, but you know, they were doing it the right way.
Right, might be dangerous.
Tough to duplicate nowadays. That, right? Yeah. Tough to duplicate that.
Well. Pretty easy, but hard to recover from.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, my fingers aren't bleeding yet, but they will be soon. Mm-hmm. We ramp up to the poetry jam and the guitar battle. I think I'm going to be ready.
Got to get something
going,
man.
Oh, I'm
going to
be ready.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right on.
You know it. But, yeah, so that's what I'm listening to.
It'd be rad if the guitar jam was like the Gilmore Girls theme song, like on a six solo.
Yeah, you know, don't know. I see, there's the thing.
Yeah.
You got to get clearance.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you could, like, throw in a lick.
You can throw on a leg.
But I think the tone of the evening would change or get a little cheesy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, ooh, I don't know.
No. Yeah.
It's like,
it might not be on brand.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know, but, and you know, I've been listening to, some Patti Smith too.
Ah, Horses.
Yeah, man. Patti Smith.
Because the Night.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. No, well, that's not on Horses, but what is it? Which one is that on?
It's
Easter?
Not one of
the, is that on Easter?
I think
Easter. So you're familiar.
Oh, Miss Smith, I accidentally went to one of her concerts at Amoeba Records down the street.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
When?
I was just walking in. This was like 2 years ago.
What?
And she was just doing a concert and a signing. And, you know, Amoeba has these like little concerts all the time. I did not think it would be Patti Smith when I walked in.
Yeah, man.
So that was pretty wild. And I love Because of the Night.
Hey, man, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, I used to stalk her in New York City.
Yeah.
In the mid 70s.
She was rad, man.
She was the coolest
of,
I mean, just. I mean, so my sister's living in New York with some college professor. He taught literature at NYU or something.
Yeah.
So I'd go spend the summers in New York City, you know, from the time I was like 13 years old on. So, you know, and Patti Smith is a South Jersey girl. She's from my area.
Oh, yeah.
So, so it's me and, I think Tommy Poitras may have been there.
He might have been there.
But it was definitely me and my two sisters. And we went into CBGB's one night. I was 14 years old.
Back when CBGB's existed.
Yeah, man. So I might have been 15. Maybe I was 15 years old. Maybe 16, 15. Anyway. So Patti Smith is in there. And she's talking to, it looked like to me, some kind of a record executive. And she had these sunglasses. She had like these, they weren't Wayfarers. They looked like Ray-Bans with the blinders on the side. You know, those, they were like these sort of leather blinders on the side. She was so cool that she was wearing Ray-Bans inside of dark CBGBs. And I can't remember who was on stage playing, but I went up to her and I interrupted the conversation. I interrupted her conversation. I just, because I was so nervous. And so in awe, I just sort of like rudely kind of cut in and said, "Hey, Patty."
What's up, Patty, my little friend?
You know, how you doing? So listen, I heard you were, you're auditioning for a new piano player. And, 'cause I'd heard that through the grapevine, you know? And she sort of like, you know, she kind of looked at me and she pushed her glasses down. So I could see her eyeballs. And she just took another look at me and she goes, "You're probably a little young." And I said, well, how old do you think I am? She goes, well, I mean, come on. I said, I'm 18.
You were not 18.
I was not 18. No. So she says, I don't think you're 18. So we left. I mean, I went back just completely rejected, dejected, not humiliated, because mm-hmm. she was cool. She was cool with me. And, you know, I finally just said, let's get out of here. And we were leaving. She followed us out. And we were walking down, what is it, the Bowery, I guess? We were walking down the street. And I hear this, hey, yo. I turn around, there she is. And she said, good luck.
Hey, that's a nice blessing.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not bad. That was Patty Badass Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
What, 1975, wishing me luck.
That's rad, man.
And I'm here to tell you, thank you, Patty Smith. You know, things kind of worked out in a weird way.
I hope she's listening. I think she's a big Gilmore fan. I'm not sure.
You know what? I think she is, actually.
Is she?
I think, yeah, Amy did say that she read an interview with Patty and she did mention the show.
Oh.
Yes.
I wonder if she recognized you.
I don't know. I'm not looking like I'm 15 anymore.
Oh,
you know,
close enough.
I have shoes older than that. Yeah. So anyway, that's my Patty Smith story.
Did you read her book that came out a few years ago?
I think I've read all her books. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't read that one. But it's look, when you're that young, you know, there's. I mean, I just adored her. I mean, we went to Amnesty International things where she was speaking in New York and we'd go backstage and talk to her and stuff. So there were other encounters. That mm-hmm. wasn't the only one. And I thought I had an audition. I thought I actually finally had an audition because she remembered me.
Mm-hmm.
And she scribbled something down on a napkin and a phone number and an address. And I called and I went and I waited and, you know, it just never happened.
Right.
It just didn't happen. I was just too young.
Just missed the window.
You know? Yeah, well, that's just, you know, I was too young. I was like, I don't want to say that I was almost in Patti Smith's band, but I don't want to not say it either. I kind of do want to say that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's a little stretching.
And there was a keyboardist she needed?
Yes.
Do you play keys?
I did. Yeah, I did at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a piano?
And I wasn't good enough to be in the band, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
Because I thought my style would fit in perfectly.
With like that punk sound.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I could play, like at that time I could play one classical piece, one jazz piece. I could play a little Springsteen, New York City Serenade. I could almost play the beginning of New York.
Oh, now you're speaking my language.
But not David Sanchez, not the way David Sanchez played it.
Where he's playing with the guitar pick on the strings.
No. On the Steinway.
Okay.
No, on the Steinway. It's that beautiful beginning to New York City Serenade.
The very, very beginning of it is him on the Steinway.
Yes, you're right.
With the guitar pick.
Good
on
you,
strings.
Buddy. Yeah.
That's my favorite record.
But, you know, we would all listen to that and try to play that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you came close. Oh, man.
I don't know if I came close.
That is a complicated song to play, too.
Yeah, but, you know, I tell you what, we were down there in that basement really putting an effort in, you know?
Yeah.
We were really trying.
Yeah. What else are you going to do in New Jersey?
Oh, there's a lot to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do.
Has it changed a lot recently?
No, well, you know, the town I grew up in, it really is... I wouldn't say that it's frozen in time, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, it's I don't know that it's changed a heck of a lot. I mean, a little bit. I mean, it's bound to, but mm-hmm. It was a place that I was dying to get out of,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it was really restricting me, I felt, and now it's a place that, you know, seems...
A place you can call home and
very pleasant.
Nice to come home to.
Yeah. You know, it's a beautiful state. People think of New Jersey because they think of, you know what, exit 10,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, Newark, or because there's some oil refineries, and, you know, down where I am,
yeah,
like a couple exits down from exit 4, because I'm exit 4 of the Garden State, New Jersey Turnpike. For the most part, that state is gorgeous.
Right on.
Gorgeous, yeah.
I just got a text from Demi that he's here.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go downstairs and get him.
You're going to get him?
And we can finish up the conversation.
Yeah, cool.
And looky there.
Sorry. Yeah, you got it.
Joined back in the studio.
Back from the field.
I'm alive.
Yeah, you were on assignment when
I
we
was.
Started.
I was.
On assignment.
Yeah, I was.
With NBC News.
Yes.
They sent me to go do some reporting on the methane leak.
What'd you find?
It's still happening. Still there.
Grade A reporting.
Drove down
Dimmy.
There, saw, yeah, it's happening, came back.
Dimmy Adigwebe on the field. Oh, we were just kind of wrapping up here, Dimmy. Well, we were talking about New Jersey.
Jersey.
In all its glory.
Music. All its glory.
All the staff, Patti Smith stories, talking about Springsteen.
I don't know a single artist from Jersey.
Really?
I bet you do.
Well, I know Springsteen, but I don't know of Springsteen.
Bon Jovi?
Well. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I couldn't, like, if you said New Jersey, I wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, where Blank is from.
He's going to get on his steel horse and ride?
Yeah. Wanted, Dead or Alive.
Wanted!
It's Mr. Jovi.
There you go. Those guys could rock it, right? Yeah. Still can.
Would you say you're more Springsteen or Billy Joel?
Oh, Springsteen.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
But Billy Joel, you know, look, he rules.
Yeah.
No question.
Terrific man.
But it's like, I mean, my God, Springsteen?
It's hard to beat.
Are you kidding me?
When's the last time you saw a show of his?
God. 90s?
Yeah.
I saw him out here.
Okay.
I saw him in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him Christmas, I think it's Christmas Eve 75 Spectrum, Philadelphia.
Oh, wow. I saw, the very first time I saw him was at the Spectrum in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable show. I mean, it went on for hours and hours and hours. Mm-hmm. The guy was sweating his brains out. That guy live, you know, wow. The energy coming off that stage.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's, I mean, just fantastic. And do you know that famous shot of him in front of that, what, 56 Corvette? That beautiful red and white 56 Corvette?
Oh, we talked about this
that
last
shot
time.
That was shot in front of your house. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The town of choice for rock stars.
Dimmy, do you have any questions for Scott?
So Bruce in 1990... No, I don't.
The boss.
Yeah. I mean, we have talked before about your resemblance to Mr. Bruce Springsteen, and we when we recently talked to Milo, and we pitched him Kevin's idea for a movie starring him as the boss.
The Springsteen biopic, because Milo looks like him circa 1978. You could look like him circa 1985.
I don't think I look like him at all. Thank you there very much. That's a nice compliment. But, but yeah, Milo kind of does, doesn't he?
Right?
He does.
Yeah, a little. Yeah.
This podcast is just me getting cast members to agree that Milo looks like Bruce Springsteen now.
Yeah, man.
It's a live pitch meeting for your Bruce Springsteen movie.
I think so.
Yeah.
Fade in.
Wait a minute. So you have a Bruce Springsteen movie, or you just
mess
with me? Messing with me right now.
I'm not messing
it's
with
not
you.
We're not messing with you, but it's not a concrete thing.
It's not happening yet.
Although Miramax.
What's that?
Miramax, call us.
Miramax no longer exists.
What?
I don't think Miramax exists.
Who's been accepting my checks?
Disney?
Disney call us.
Oh boy, man. Well, Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh yeah, hey, my pleasure.
In
anytime.
The studio.
Yes.
For a fantastic hour of gabbing, chatting about upcoming.
That's right.
Things.
It went by fast, didn't it?
Very fast.
My God.
Yeah,
time
that was
flies
a nice hour.
When you're in the cage.
Oh, we should ask because we were talking about this like 1 year since we first talked to Scott.
Yeah.
For the very first time on the show, when we first talked to you last year.
Yeah.
And you famously said, infamously said. There are talks, mm-hmm. quote unquote. How much did you know at the time?
I didn't know anything.
So it was a Hail Mary.
Man, I wanted it to happen.
You kind of willed it into existence.
Oh, I did not.
It's the secret.
No, it was inevitable.
I will say your appearance on the Gilmore Guys podcast was at least 2% responsible for it coming back.
And
I will
the
make
podcast
that.
Itself, I would say about 90%.
Yeah, 98%. Yeah, no.
Well, look, it's the power of positive thinking, right?
Yeah.
It's the power of positive thinking. You want something to happen bad enough? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go to the airwaves. You come to Kevin and Demi. You make it happen.
Yeah. I will say
we're dream makers.
When you came on the show and said there are talks, the reaction was sort of overwhelming, and it wasn't like a reaction of like, oh my God, it's happening. It was a reaction of people just getting excited. And I think that fervor in general did make it inevitable.
Was the wave. Yeah. I mean, it was part of a much bigger wave.
For sure.
Look, I hope I can come back in a week, 2 weeks, make an announcement about the Philadelphia appearance this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're bringing an experience to the fans.
Yeah,
you know, a Q&A kind of thing, and you know, all kinds of things. So it's something I want to celebrate. I want to celebrate this with the fans
because
they're all out there, and you know, I want to meet them.
We're ready to go,
and I want to tell them how much I appreciate it. You know, because their support means everything to us.
Well, that's
really
awesome.
Does. I mean, it's the reason we're doing this.
We are, you know, third party benefactors of that same fervor and support, even in doing this show.
Right. Right?
So we know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what
about.
I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you feel it when you do your shows. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely amazing. It's like a religion, and it's just a wonderful thing to be a part of.
I know there are some people for real, because they've been on our show.
Yeah.
Who watch one episode a day. It's like their daily devotional. Yep. Absolutely. Pretty much.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct. It's like they have to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to have their little respite from the world.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's plug your stuff. You are at Scott G. Patterson on Twitter.
Yep.
People can find you on Facebook.
Yeah. I have a couple of pages on Facebook. They're both my site, my pages. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's it. No Instagram. I got hacked.
Yeah, yeah, that was a bummer.
I got to get the Instagram up again.
You can get a new one by the time the new episodes come out.
I got hacked bad.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
I had to change everything.
And we started asking this of our guests a while back, but I know we already talked about music, but what's something in pop culture right now, because Gilmore Girls is such a pop culture-centric show, a movie, a TV show, a book that you're enjoying right now that you'd like to give a shout-out to?
Look, I became a fan of two shows.
Okay.
Over the last few months. Vinyl,
mm-hmm.
the Mick Jagger, Martin Scorsese exec produced show. I just love the show because it's 70s A&R people, music industry, New York City. And so I know all those places and I know all those people. And I think the tributes they did for Bowie and all that stuff, I mean, it was actually kind of moving.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just love the show. I also was kind of enjoying Billions.
Billions, yeah.
I forgot about Billions.
Yeah, with Paul Giamatti and, yeah, I mean, the other guy.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Damian Lewis and Giamatti and what's her name? Maggie Seff?
Maggie Siff and Malin Ackerman. Siff. Yeah.
Wow, they were great.
Yeah, I mean, great cast.
Just knocked me out.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed that as well.
All right, those two shows. Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of TV, but those were my Sunday. Sunday night was like, okay, I'm going to watch at 6 o'clock, I'll watch that, or 7 o'clock, I'll watch Vinyl, and then at 8, I'll watch Billions.
Classic Sunday lineup.
Yeah, fantastic.
Is it hard to watch TV sometimes because it almost feels like you're looking at a piece of work, or is it pretty relaxing for you?
As an actor.
Not those shows.
Yeah.
I had a blast watching those shows. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't find myself critiquing it in any way.
Right.
Because I have no taste.
No, got good taste,
no,
man.
That's not true at all. No, I just enjoyed those shows because I like what they were doing. I like what they were attempting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was something unique. It was music. It was I've just, nobody's tried it before.
Yeah.
And if they have, I'm not aware of it. But
right.
I love the fact that the music throughout those shows is just great. Just great. I love Bobby Cannavale. I love all that stuff that he's doing.
Awesome.
I hope that show gets recognized.
Yeah, I think it's renewed for a second season already.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it was?
It'll be back. Yeah.
Good. I'm really happy. Really happy.
Awesome.
And I think, you know, and Juno Temple, fantastic in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Just really enjoyed all of it.
If you were to guest on Vinyl and play a figure in music, who would it be? From the 70s or in the 80s, if they skip ahead.
A rock star.
Who would it be?
Scott looks like
some guy that didn't get the Patti Smith gig, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But no, that would be weird because I'd be too old. I'd be somebody's father that didn't get Patti Smith.
You could
gig.
Be your own father.
Looking for retribution.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Scott, thank you again
for always
checking
a pleasure,
in with
guys.
Us. Yeah. And we're the Gilmore Guys, and you know all of our stuff. At Gilmore Guys Show, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
I'd like to take this moment to plug... No, I'm kidding.
What? Oh, GilmoreGuysStore.com, which, Demi, right under your arm, we have a t-shirt
magic
for
trick.
Scott Patterson.
Whoa.
Sure do.
I get one of
official,
these?
Yeah, dude. Wow. Whichever size you are. I got two.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I didn't know which one you were.
Guys.
Yeah.
Was you got an XL?
God will wear our
shirt. We did. The other one's XL.
That's fantastic. Thank
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Buy one, everybody. These things are fantastic.
They're on GilmoreGuysStore.com.
Nice material.
Yeah, I
wow,
think so.
Wow, that's nice and soft.
We're using that recording of you saying that for the ads now.
That is a great plug from Mr. Scott
that's
Patterson.
That's nice.
GilmoreGuysStore.com. GilmoreGuysShow.com. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye, folks.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.